All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Houston Rockets Daily. Let's talk Rockets edition number 57. The trade deadline is officially commenced about an hour and 12 minutes ago. Not too surprising, as we've been talking about the last couple of days, the Houston Rockets decide to stand pack. I think this was a very beneficial move. I think they have acquired, in the last year or so, a lot of contracts that are easily tradable. And, we take a look at a trade like, Toronto and Kelly Olynyk and using like a first round pick, and the value wasn't there. And we didn't really see any big time players get moved. And there's that crazy stat that, like, 25% of the team, or, 10 teams have 75% of the picks or something, and Houston is one of them. So there will be emerging stars. There will be emerging superstars that are available for trade and are available to be moved and all that fun stuff. And I fully anticipate the Houston Rockets to make a move sometime this offseason, which we will be talking about in today's show. We're going to make it quick. But before we get into it, man, as you guys know, this is available on streaming platforms. Type in Let's Talk Rockets with Jackson Elstro or click the link down below in the description. I appreciate all your guys' love. Our show from like 2 days ago was a career. So we're building it. We're building the blocks piece by piece, view by view, listen by listen. And if you guys want to throw it a rating, that would be cool. I don't really know how climbing the ranks works, but we're going day by day. So thank you for all the love. Let's throw this in and let's get into it. Need to make a cool intro. That'd be cool. All right. So in general, man, this was a super boring, super bland trade deadline. The biggest move was not even at the deadline. Pascal Siakam going to the Indiana Pacers. I got a good tweet here that I'm going to show for my visual guys. It's from Bordeaux. The Rockets have a ton of tradable salary going into the offseason. So we got Steven Adams, our recent addition, 12.6 mil. Jeff Green, 9.6 mil. Jacques Landale, 8 mil. And Jay Sean Tate, 7.1 mil. That's a little less than $40 million. And then we have just a ton of draft capital. And yeah, that's pretty much the idea here. So when you're the GM of a team in any sporting league, you want flexibility. And that's one thing that you see, I feel like, kind of this new batch of GMs in the NBA, Sam Presti, Raphael Stone, Troy Weaver, all these guys, you want flexibility. And that's, to me, what Raphael Stone has implemented ever since he began his tenure as the Rockets GM. He wants flexibility. He doesn't want to be tied down to these long-ass contracts, hence why you see, the Freddie Double V contract. You see contracts like Jacques Landale only getting $1 million the first year guaranteed. And yeah, I think it's the great route. I think it's a really smart move. And, obviously this free agency class is a little interesting, a little intriguing in general, but you're going to see guys get disgruntled as you do every season, or not even disgruntled is what I mean, but you'll see, and we've already kind of started to see now, guys like Donovan Mitchell be, potentially move, DeJounte Murray this year, potentially move. You're going to start to see a couple of more of these players just emerge. So let's get into the comments section here. We got our in-house Raptors fan, Nick Killer Reggie Miller. What's up, Thomas? I see that. How you doing today? Looks like we swiped Kelly. I don't know what's going on in Toronto, I'll be honest with you. I really only paid attention to the Rockets moves today. Seems like you guys cleared a lot of money for this upcoming offseason here. But didn't you give up a first for Kelly Olynyk? So it was a little interesting. But Kelly definitely benefits your basketball franchise. Presti is the best GM. Jackson, what's up, Kerm? Gordon Hayward is a sim now move. Or win now move. What's up, Josh? Reggie Miller, Nick Killer, get your bitch off 8 times in 9 seconds, no filler. Word. What's up, David? Should we keep Jalen Green? So, the Houston Rockets, the reports were a few weeks ago that we want to win now, and the Rockets are looking. Raphael Stone's looking to make a win now move, and you know, I think stuff kind of changed. Jalen Green seemed to be more playing in a more flow state, playing a little bit loose. Fred gets down with an injury. We've been seeing these emergence of Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore playing, you know, competent minutes at a high level consistently. And yeah, they're rookies and are going to make mistakes. But I think Raf kind of pivoted once the Mikal Bridges became untouchable. And I think, you know, Jalen Green was certainly a trade choice. I don't think like Raphael Stone was itching to trade Jalen Green. I don't think he's thinking, all right, you know, Jalen Green's not going to be a superstar, so let's deal him right here, right now, if we can get a guy, a star level player, an all-star level player in Mikal Bridges. But I would say 100% Jalen Green's job is on the line here for the final couple of months of the regular season. I don't think that they even are leaning either way. I think it just kind of comes down to how he plays here in the last couple of months down the stretch of the regular season. And, you know, I hope Jalen continues to ball his ass off. I hope he continues to ball his ass off. But I think that's a question that still remains to be seen. And I don't think there's any point in pressuring the organization or pressuring yourself and trying to determine if Jalen Green is going to stay or if he's going to go. I think a lot of this is fluid and it's moving and it's changing. And so I don't think anybody really knows what's going on. And playing for his job, as every player on the Houston Rockets is and as every player in the NBA is playing for their job. So that remains to be seen. And, you know, I know the Rockets, we've been preaching patience for so long, and, you know, having a top four draft pick in the last three drafts has been, you know, brutal. You know, when's this patience going to pay off? And, you know, this seems to be the last year here where, you know, we're fighting for a play-in spot, but there's a vision, there's an idea that Raphael Stone has, and he wants to continue to implement it. You know, I don't think Raf's ever really been a huge trade deadline guy because I think a lot of these GMs are noticing with the way that draft pick capital is being hoarded by all these teams. Hoarded's the wrong word, but so many of these, it's so lopsided. And you want to make moves and you want to be aggressive, but you also don't want to shaft your team. So what's up? We got a bunch of cats in here. Hit that like button. Get some more Rock Show fans in here. Appreciate y'all. Mavs got better. I think we could be looking at a Dallas OKC Western Conference final. I loved what the Knicks decided to do. I loved what the Pacers decided to do. I love the Cavs right now. He only made one trade for Steven Adams. That was it. He not available. Yeah, they're playing the long run with Steven Adams, and he's also a tradable contract if a move presents itself. Once again, we go back to the flexibility that Raphael Stone desires and has. And, you know, you don't want to go be trading for a guy like Zach LaVine, where LaVine's making $50 mil a year until 2028, something like that. So I get it, man. Steven Adams is injured, and we still need a backup big. And I anticipate Houston to go after a Robin Lopez or a Bismack Biyombo as kind of a quick fix, a quick Band-Aid on the situation. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I also think there's a strong chance that Jacques Landale gets more second chance opportunities here to see what he possesses. Because I think ideally Houston, you know, as you see on the screen here, he's got an $8 million contract. And I think you want to... Because we spent all of our money. If we didn't spend all of our money this past offseason, we would have been hit with a tax, right? So you want to get these competent players on longer-term contracts so that you can make these big-time moves. Because, I mean, let's take a look at free agency. I don't think we're going to be signing any. I think what's the coveted guy right now is Paul George. I would love Paul George on this team, but, you know, signing trades exist and all that stuff, and this is not the type of hoops hype. Come on, man. Such a big screen. Klay Thompson. Yeah, here it is. All right. Klay Thompson, Tobias Harris, James Harden, Siakam, Hayward, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. I don't even mean to call you that. I'm sorry, DeMar. I love you, and I'm glad you're still with Chicago. Buddy Hield, Mike Conley, Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Lo, Gary Trent, Markelle Fultz. So it's like a pretty underwhelming draft class or a free agency class. And I think they made all their moves this past year to build that foundation. Or we've built the foundation, and now we want to continue to evolve and evaluate and see what we got. All right, not your average 10K. Yes, we should keep Jalen Green. We ain't going to win no time soon. Plus, Jalen been hooping consistently, so we good. Hell yeah. Balls his ass. Hell yeah. Would love to see Houston sneak in without making a move. Knicks win in the East. Mark my words. Cam Whitmore played hella good against the Pace show. I got to stop calling teams the show. I'm so done with this team. The Astros and Texans are H-Town's best teams. The Rockets are going nowhere. Sheesh. Clint Capella Stone should trade for him in the deal. I would only take Clint Capella if we did not acquire Steven Adams. Clint Capella and Steven Adams are very similar. Let me get a quick back check on this. Very similar, though. And here we go, and I'll tell you why they'd made this move. All right, so Clint Capella next season will be making $22.2 million. He's making $20.6 million, right? Clint Capella, hell of a rebounder, especially in that first round of the playoffs last year. I remember he was throwing up 20 pieces dry, no sauce, no ranch, no barbecue, nothing, not even ketchup. Just throwing up 20-piece rebounding nights. But Steven Adams, I think he's got that chip. He's got that intensity. He's a leader. He's like cool, calm, and collective. But once he gets out onto that court, he's like a stone-cold killer. Like, yeah, we can shake hands after this, but while we're on the court, until that clock hits zero, fuck you. I'm going to rip that ball from your hand. I don't care if you fall to the floor. In fact, I hope you fall to the floor. I'm not saying Clint's not like that, but I think Steven Adams has that intensity, and he's got that locker room voice that Clint Capella, they're just different. But I think the most important part about that is, you know, Clint Capella is making around $50 million, 45-ish, $50 million in these next year and a half. And when we take a look at Steven Adams, this dude's on a bargain deal. Steven Adams this year, I know he's injured. He's on a two-year, $25 million contract. He's making 12.6 this year. He's going to make 12.6 next year. So I think it's smart to keep that cap down. It would be nice to throw Capella in a trade for, you know, one of these guys on a, you know, I'm not definitely not Zach LaVine, but you get what I'm saying. If you got to match 50 mil, yeah, maybe it would be nice to have that number be, you know, 47 instead of 37, but you can still move around. That's just not I would have taken Clint Capella, but Steven Adams is a lot smaller of a contract. And like I said, if you're trying to get that cap space that we see on the screen here of the 37.26 mil, if you need to raise that, that's where your Jalen Greens are going to start to come in. All right. So I'm very excited for Steven Adams, and I hope he plays. I hope he plays. I hope he doesn't go anywhere. I think he's the perfect bench big man. People forget, you know, when we talk about like the Grizzlies in the last couple of seasons, like Steven Adams doesn't play in the playoffs, man. You can't play him in the playoffs as a starter and a closer because of matchups. And let's get this fact check on the screen as well. He's not unplayable. I don't mean that he's unplayable, but this dude. All right, let's see. All right, Steven Adams, about 27 a night. Memphis, the last year he played in the playoffs, he got 16 minutes a night, man. He can't shoot. He doesn't take threes. Teams are going to mold their rotations based on the fact that Steven Adams can't shoot. So I think it's perfect because you got Elper and Shangoon. Those two dudes can play together. But for the most part, Steven Adams is going to be getting 25 off the bench. Rockets are going somewhere. Look how many wins we got, and then look at last year. Exactly. This team has a hell of a future. The come-up's going to be awesome. Everybody wants stuff quickly. Everybody wants it so quick. On-screen dipping. Nasty work. It's just a zinny, man. I could have sworn the Rockets had 25 wins soon. Soon. What's up, everybody in here? Hit that like button. We're rising up these numbers. Rockets still need a year or two to reach the final form. Hell yeah. We're going to continue to do that this year, and then we're going to get over that hump next year based on our current personnel combined with new additions. It's going to be funny to see Dame and Patrick on the same team. Right. I forgot the Bucks got Pat Bev. I love that move. I absolutely love that move. Without any moves, we will be the most improved team in the league. That's the thing, dude. We're already the most improved team in the goddamn league. As far as, I think I had one of those right here. Change in win percentage. What jumps out? I mean, this is a couple of days outdated. It's 4 days outdated, but who's number one? I'll tell you, for our visual or audio listeners, the answer is the Houston Rockets. The answer is the Houston Rockets. Yeah, dude, sorry, Thomas. I was the 11th, like 12 people lacking. Hit that like button. Thanks, fellas. Holding it down. All right, let's hit up some of our tweets that I've been sending myself. Sources to the Athletic: Mavericks recently offered 2 seconds for Rockets' Jayshon Tate, but Houston declined. So I know a lot of people like to look at the Rafael Stone asset mismanagement, the KPJ trade, giving away second-round picks. I think the KPJ situation kind of really hurts the asset management argument, because it's like, well, the dude was arrested or however the hell that situation went down, and KPJ wasn't going to be in the league. And any type of value you can get back for him, I mean, you kind of got to hop on that. But I think that kind of lopsides that. But yeah, man. Told you we'll keep it quick today. That's all I got. It's finally warm and sunny here in the Sunshine State. Going to be cooking some tans. And that's it, man. So, once again, as always, this is available on streaming platforms. You guys blessed our show from 2 days ago to be the most listened to episode on Let's Talk Rockets. But this is not a podcast. This is a live talk show. I want to bring back radio. Bring back live talk sports. What are tans? Tans just mean you're getting that sunshine, that vitamin, whatever the hell it is. Yeah, and that's when you know the show should be done. That's it. That's all I got. If you're listening to this, rate it, dude. All three ratings are people I know, and 2 of them are me. Shout out the 3rd. That's it. Peace. We'll be back. Probably not tomorrow. We'll be back this weekend. Cheers.